She says she likes it. All right, Psalm 33, verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their heart alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Now remember, what we have here is we have the three commands that are here in the first three verses. And that is, we are to rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, the saints of the Lord. So we are to exalt in him. We have the command in verse 2, to praise the Lord with harp. The praise means the confession of our lips, or confess the Lord with a harp. And then thirdly, we have sing unto him a what kind of song? A new song. And we're to play skillfully with a loud noise. It's interesting, the Lord does not desire you to play skillfully quietly. Right, Walter? Play that violin when you're out there playing. And so we have these things that we're to be doing, and now the Lord gives the reasons why we should be exalting in him. Verses 4 through 9, you have this, for his work of creation. You got the word of the Lord creating all these things by the word or the breath, verse 6, of his mouth. He's gathering all the waters, all those waters that had overflooded the earth. When he said, let the earth appear, his word caused those waters to stand in a heap, to be boundaried on this earth so that the earth would appear. And the excess of those waters, verse 7, he actually laid in the depths of the earth in storehouses. So the result of all this is, verse 8, all the earth should what? We should fear him. I mean, folks, if God is that powerful and he does it by his word, he's not even taking his hand and like slapping it around. He just speaks and it is done. Then we ought to stand in awe. We ought to stand in fear of a great God like this. Wouldn't you think? And it is the very essence of our sinfulness that we can think about these things and A, not feel praise in our heart. And B, not just stand before him stunned at his majesty. And certainly, verse 12 in that chorus, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance. Then we have the second major reason, and that is for the work of his providence, verses 10 through 17. Then we have because of the work of his salvation, verses 18 and 19, and then he closes with a declarative statement and a request from the Lord. Verse 22, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in you. Now we saw last Wednesday, verses 10 and 11, the work of God's providence among the nations. And we spoke of this fact, verse 10, that the Lord brings the counsel of the heathen, that is, Gentile nations, he brings the counsel of the heathen to what? To nothing. And we saw that that counsel refers to the plans of people, the plans of nations, the plans of that which is going on. And we saw that this phrase, none effect or not, refers to the fact that God disallows it, or he discourages it, or he overturns it, or he frustrates the design of wicked people. And we spent some time talking how we can pray for our Supreme Court. We can pray for our leaders. When we see this wave of evil coming, and it's coming, isn't it? Okay? Do we just sit around and go, oh no? Well, the answer is yes, that's probably what we're doing. Should we be doing that? No. Our great God brings the counsel of the heathen to what? to nothing. He brings the devices or the purposes or the imaginations of the people to none effect. He just frustrates it all the time. And we asked ourselves this question, have you ever made grandiose plans and been frustrated that they did not happen like you thought they would? And the answer to that is what? Yeah. Of course. Well, there may be a reason for that. Because you were trusting your own heart and not the Lord. Verse 11. In contrast to the counsel of the heathen, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And I ask that if you would to make the connection between these words. In verse 10, you have the counsel of the heathen. Verse 11, counsel of the Lord. This is contrast. In verse 10, you've got this. You've got the word devices. And in verse 11, you have this same Hebrew word translated thoughts. So when it comes to the two people, when you come to the Gentile people, their counsel and their devices are frustrated by the Lord. But the Lord's thoughts and the Lord's devices, they stand how long?
Forever.
And that word that is brought to our mind, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, is the same Hebrew phrase translated in verse 9, and it, what's the last two words? Stood fast. So you ought to make a connection between those words there so that that would leap out to you, because you'll see exactly how the psalmist is moving right down through this psalm. When he did creation, he spoke and it was what? Done. Nobody overturned it. He commanded and it stood what? It stood fast. Nobody frustrated it. All right, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands fast, and the thoughts of his heart, it spans generations. So God's counsel, God's plans are not dependent on any one generation. He carries that plan through all the way, and we can be confident. We can pray for it. We can pray to the one that turns men's hearts in the way that he designs. We can trust in him, can't we, brethren? Because you're going to have your plans frustrated and you're going to scratch your head and say, what in the world is going on? But I'm telling you, and I'm telling me, we can trust Christ. Our problem is just yielding to it. Just submitting to it. And surely, blessed would be a nation whose God is the what? Yeah. All right, and that's an interesting word, nation. It's actually a word referring to Gentiles, goyim. Blessed are the Gentiles whose God is the Lord. And you have him as your Lord. You are a blessed people. God has chosen you for his inheritance. Now, that brings us to verses 13 and following, and what I want to see here is this, very simple, okay, but you may want to point this out in your Bible, and I'm going to introduce it with a problem. Have you ever had difficulties in your life? Do you have difficulties? Have you ever had pressures in your life? You say, like, when did I not? Right? I remember when I was young, I thought, you know, I'd just get a well-paying job and everything would be nice and all my relationships would be good and life would be peaceful and life is great. Okay? But that's just a delusion, isn't it? So you may be here and you may be having difficulties. You may be here and you may be under pressures. Now, let me tell you what happens when we're under pressures, when we're under suffering, where we're under some intense anxiety. Let me tell you what that tends to do. It tends to divert your mind. Okay, are you with me? Okay. Where does it tend to divert your mind to?
The problem.
The problem. And how to
solve it.
There you go. Okay? So here you are, you got this intense pressure. Okay, you try to do something, pressure gets harder. Okay? You try to go this direction, blocked. And then it really gets intense if other people are relying on you, right, dads? Okay, you have a family, you have a wife, you have these things going on. Okay? Your mind just gravitates to the problem. Okay? Now, once your mind is captured by the problem, did you hear how I worded that? Okay? You're a servant of the Lord, amen? Once that anxiety captures you and brings you in, and then the pressure increases, here's what may happen. You may say to yourself, I don't think God sees what's going on. Dr. John Vaughn, who pastored for many years Faith Baptist Church in Greenville, I was under his ministry for, I don't know, 3 to 4 years, something like that. He made this statement, and he made it so often in a sermon series, I can't forget it. So I'm going to give it to you. It went something like this. God doesn't see me, and even if he does, he doesn't care. You ever been there? God doesn't see me, but even if he does, he doesn't what? He doesn't care. Why are you saying that? Because the pressure's not gone. The anxiety is not gone. You've been praying about that, right? I mean, if you're having financial problems and you need $100 and you don't have $100, that's a lot of pressure. Okay? So you pray about it. And it doesn't come. Now you really feel pressure, right? And after a while, you're so captivated by the problem, you even begin to act as if God doesn't even see your problem. I've actually prayed that way. I'm like, you know, Lord, like, hello, I've got this need, here's the deadline. There's nothing wrong with telling God that. But if you're telling him like he doesn't know, that's a problem. Now, folks, God does care, doesn't he? And God does see. Now, how do I know this? Now, let's look at our passage. Look at verse 13. Tell me what in that passage would let me know that one of the problems as I go through life is that sometimes I don't think God sees or cares. What would be the word? Okay, everybody see that? What's the first word? Looks. Everybody see that in verse 10? You ought to bracket that. Okay? Do you see another word in verse 13? You got look, and what's another word? Tell me out.
Behold.
Behold. Everybody see that? Okay? You ought to bracket that. Okay? Help me out in verse 14. Looketh. Shirley's got that right. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Okay, you kind of getting the idea that what the Holy Spirit wants us to see and exalt God for is the fact that he can see. Okay, now this is a little bit harder. But did you notice in verse 15, can you see anything that may indicate that he sees? Okay, he considers, what's he seeing? Their works, all right? And also this, he fashions all the hearts of men. He definitely saw that, right? Okay, so what we have here is, in these three verses, is this fact. God sees. He says this. Verse 13, do you know that the Lord sees? My dear brother, do you realize, verse 13, that the Lord beholds? He sees. My brethren, do you realize in verse 14 that he looks? and that he sees and considers in his mind all of their actions? Do you understand that? And all God's people go. But what happens when the pressure comes? Tell me, we're blind as a bat, aren't we? The psalmist is exalting. He's feeling praise because of this. Folks, lost people hate the fact that God is omniscient, that he knows everything, and he sees everything. Even the darkness is light unto him. You know, God's people, if you tell me God sees everything about my life, I go, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to hide anything. He already knows my uprising and my downsitting. He knows I'm a sinner. He died for my sins. Right? I'm glad he knows everything. And I'm glad that he knows everything about me. Because that means he deals with me in a right way. Is everybody with me on this? Here's the pressures of life come, the anxieties come, the frustrations come, and we forget that God sees. Remember what Dr. Vaughn said? Well, God doesn't see. We may not say this with our lips, we say it in our heart. God doesn't see me, and even if he does, he doesn't what? He doesn't care. See, you can't remember, and my wife remembers it, because we sat there and heard it every Sunday, 4 or 5 times in a sermon. Folks, we get to the place, especially when the pressures pile and the pressures pile and they become very long, we begin to wonder if God's even noticing me. Now let's stop and look at the passage. Does God see? Well, let's look at it. Verse 13. The Lord is in heaven. Can he see? The answer is what? Yes. Praise him because of that. Okay? Look at verse 13. What is he looking at? The sons of? And this is a fascinating word. Men. Let me pronounce the Hebrew for you. Are you ready? The word translated men here is the word Adam. Have you ever read that in your Bible? The word Adam. Now, you don't say it that way. How do you say it?
Adam.
So when God said, God formed man, Adam, the Adam, from the dust of the earth, what is God beholding in verse 13? All the sons of Adam. Okay? And verse 14, from the place of his habitation, where's he at? He's in heaven. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon the inhabitants of the earth. So the inhabitants of the earth are not in his habitation. He's looking down upon them from his habitation. Isn't that a cause to rejoice? Because I didn't show you this because this is further down in the passage. Look at verse 18. Does he see? How do we know he sees in verse 18? He says, stop what you're doing and think about this. The what of the Lord? Ah. Folks, he's not blind. Do I need to remind you? He never sleeps. He doesn't slumber. Have you ever been sitting in a couch and you kind of start slumbering, your eyes are kind of like, somebody says, are you going to sleep? Just resting my eyes. God doesn't do that. His eye never closes. It's always open. His eye's always on you. Is he on you now? How about when you sleep? Yes, he is our safety and he is our hope. Now let me go to the last thing. Now, if your heart's not rejoicing yet, you should tip the scale after this one. There's another word that is repeated in those passages. See if you can find it. No. It's It's another word, different word from look, different word from eye, that is repeated.
No. You didn't tell us what to look for.
I'm not telling you. Looking to read the passage, you ought to be able to find it.
Consider it?
No.
Upon?
No. How about if I help you? Look at verse 13, and I'm going to emphasize the word. The Lord looketh from heaven, and he beholdeth all the sons of men. Everybody see that word all? Okay. Do you see it in verse 14? How many inhabitants of the earth?
All.
Now this is a little tricky. Where do you see it in verse 15? Okay, you got all there what? But there's another place. It's actually a plural word. It's the word there. When you say their hearts, you're implying how many people? All of them. And we know that because in verse 15 he says how many of their works? All their works. So here's what he's telling us. Brethren, God sees. Amen? Amen. Let all of his people shout for joy. Okay? Is there anybody he doesn't see? Nobody. Do you mean that when our Supreme Court goes into their little chambers and they shut the door? Click. Who sees? All men. All men. Are you part of all men? Mercy, are you part of everybody? Walter, isn't it exciting God sees you? Folks, he sees everything. Let all the earth praise the Lord and stand in awe of him. Because you don't. How many times have you ever talked to somebody and you realize very quickly they don't have all the information? How many times have you been in a situation and you came to understand you didn't have all the information? Folks, that's not true with God. He sees every person. He knows every thought. He sees, now this is very important, every action. So if I'm mean to my wife and I come up here and I just backhand her, does God see? You think he's just standing there doing nothing? You think he's saying, oh, that's nice. Let's see how long she can hold up under this. Does God see? Does he know? Does he care? Yes. He does. And of course, you know I'd never do that to my wife. She'd beat me up. She lifts weights. I told her she couldn't lift more than 5 to 10 pounds because I didn't want to get whooped. Now, folks, I'm being a little funny here, but I'm just telling you this. I've been in those dark moments. I've actually been at places where I didn't think I'd survive another day. And I actually found my heart saying, God doesn't see. And even if he does, he doesn't care. Or he wouldn't leave you like this. And at that point, you need to take the sword of the Spirit and you need to drive that thought out of your mind. And realize, brethren, that your heart has been captured by your anxiety. And it needs to be brought to the place where it's captured by him. How do you know when that happens? Your heart will praise him for it. Amen? And folks, in our culture today, we need to know that. We need to know God sees what's happening in our culture. We need to know He hears the plans of the wicked. Amen? And He is our great God. He will either conquer the problem or He'll give us grace to go through the problem, but we win either way. So let's lift our hearts up to Him. And as we do so, you just may want to lift your heart up to the Lord about your anxiety and ask Him, Lord, I know You see it. Lord, would You look upon me and may Your face shine upon me that I may rejoice in You. Our Father, thank You for Your words.